Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Malik Yawm al-Din. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
الحمد لله على كل حال.
American Muslim 360 is
too legit.
We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum wa Jum'ah Mubarak. This is your brother Khalifa Ramadan, host for Implementing the Quran on American Muslim 360 Blog Talk Radio. We as a world, not just the Ummah, but a whole world, are entering into a period. Actually, we've already entered into the period of the month of Hajj, the month of the big dispute. Hajjajah means a dispute, the big dispute with the influence of Satan in the world, which is what the Hajj represents. And it would only be fitting for us to describe who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has identified as the imam, the leader of all of humanity, who also was the leader of this big dispute, this significant dispute, this global dispute. So we're going to be focusing on Prophet Ibrahim, or Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, as imam. And in that, we will get the standard, the model of what all other imams should pattern their life, their behavior, their emphasis, their focus, their communities upon. So before we start, we're going to go to a few commercial announcements, and I'm going to give you a head start on where we're going to be reading in Quran. We're going to start with Surah 2, Ayah 124, Surah 2, Ayah 124, and we'll get started on this presentation. Prophet Ibrahim, the Imam for Humanity, right after these commercial endorsements.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join Famico Publishers in supporting AM360, where we're helping to build the model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Look inside. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Inspire yourself with stories of amazing women. Inform yourself about pressing issues in our community. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Illuminate your mind with revealing articles. Ignite your senses with colorful art and pictures. Include yourself in the powerful conversation. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Subscribe today at www.azizamagazine.com.
You can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. America Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Again, assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Khalifa Ramadan. We're implementing the Quran, now airing on Friday evenings for 3 hours on American Muslim 360 Blog Talk Radio. And inshallah, we're going to be focusing over the next this next 3 hours. Let me give you the program format. We're going to start with the legacy of leadership established with the prophethood of Prophet Ibrahim, who Jews say is father, who Christians say is father, and who Muslims say is father. So this is a global reality, the legacy of Ibrahim as leader. And once we finish this brief presentation, inshallah, we're going to open up the phone lines for some dialogue. And depending on how healthy and how engaging the dialogue is, we won't put a time limit on it. But at some point, I will have to take a break to make Salatul Maghrib, to make the Salatul Maghrib here in Buffalo. And at that point, we plan to play a Jummah khutbah of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad. In fact, the very last Jummah khutbah that the Imam delivered at the Cobo Hall in 2008 at the annual Mosque Cares Convention. After the playing of that particular khutbah, we want to do an analysis of what the Imam gave us as advice and from Allah guidance for us in how we should proceed in this day and time. So we're going to start with our primary topic here on the legacy of leadership established with Nabi Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. And we're going to start with Surah 2, Ayah 124. Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 124, Surah 2, verse 124. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from the furious one, the expelled, the rejected. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Wa izibtala Ibrahim Rabbuhu. And when Abraham was tested, was examined by his God and evolver, bikalimatin, with words, fa'atammahunna, then he fulfilled all of them. So Ibrahim coming into leadership was not based on just who he was related to. He descended from Noah, we know that. The fact that he was from a very leading family. No, it was based on Allah giving him certain words that he tested him with, things Allah told him to do. He examined him with those words, and then Allah says, fatamahna. Then he fulfilled all of them. So Allah responds, kala, inni ja'iluka. He says, surely I am going to make you linnasi, to humanity, imama, a leader, an imam. Ibrahim was fine. He was not one to be selfish. He wanted the legacy of leadership to continue. Kala, he said, wa min zuriyati, and from my descendants. He asked a question to Allah. Will my descendants inherit this leadership for humanity? And keep in mind, Moses was one of the descendants. Jesus was a descendant. Prophet Muhammad was a descendant. And many others, all descending from Ibrahim through the two sons, Ismail and Isaac. Allah responds, Kala, he said, La yanallu, not within reach, ahdi thee my promise, Abdil Walimina, of the ones who are the darkness makers from Zalama. The ones who make darkness, the ones who do wrong, the ones who oppress. So regardless of people claiming Ibrahim, if they're darkness makers, they're wrongdoers, they're oppressors, this promise of Allah to be imam in the way Allah wants them to be leaders is not within their reach. Surah 57, ayah 62. Surah 57, ayah 62. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa laqad arsalna Nuhan wa Ibrahima. And for a certainty, we sent Noah and Abraham. Wa ja'alna fi dhurriyyatina. And we made in their descendants Nubuwata, the prophethood, Wal Kitaba, and the book. So the descendants of Ibrahim got the prophethood and the book. Fa minhum, then from them, not all of them, fa minhum, then from them, Muhtadin, our guided ones. وَكَثِيرٌ and the majority منهم from them فاسقون are defiantly disobedient, are defiantly rebellious. فاسقون from فَسَقَ is an active participle, meaning it's part adjective, describes a certain group, the quality of a group, and also their actions. It's part verb. It has the فَسَقَ meaning a third form. They're one way in their actions of being defiantly rebellious. So Allah says among the descendants of Noah and Abraham that there are those who the prophethood and the book is going to come to them, and some of them are going to be guided, but the majority of them are defiantly rebellious. 384. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Qul, amanna billahi. Say, we have faith regarding Allah. This is a command to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say this regarding. This is a command to the Prophet, but it's also a command to us. Qul, amanna. Say, we have faith. So we're supposed to say this. We have faith, billahi, regarding Allah. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا. And what was sent down or what was revealed on us. وَمَا and what أُنزِلَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ. And what was sent down on Abraham. وَإِسْمَعِيلَ and Ismail. So we have faith in what was sent down on the Ismail line that came down the Prophet Muhammad. وَإِسْحَاقَ and Isaac. But we also have faith with what was sent down on the Isaac line and all the prophets that descended from that line, including Musa, Moses, and Jesus. Then Allah says, Wa Yaquba wa Asbati, and Jacob and the tribes, Wa Ma Ati Musa, and what was given to Moses, Wa Isa, and Jesus. وَنَابِئِنَا and the prophets, men rock to him from their God and evolver. لَا نِفَرْدَكُ not do we make a distinction بَيْنَا أَحَدٍ مِنْهُمْ between anyone from them. وَنَحْنُ and we are لَهُ for him, meaning for Allah, مُسْلِمُون the ones who fully submit. So look at this wonderful legacy that Allah commands us to say we have this faith with all of the ones Allah sent as prophets from both the Ismail line and the Isaac line, all traced back to Father Ibrahim. Now we want to go to Surah 2, Ayah 130. Surah 2, Ayah 130. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Waman yalgabu. And who would be more adverse? Who would turn away more? Ragaba means to turn away with an aversion. It's just kind of a disgust. Benjamin Yabagabu, who would be more adverse? Anilat Ibrahima, from the dictate of Abraham. And a man questioned me on translating Miller as dictate. The word Melala, the root of it, Melala, it means something that's very arduous, something that's very taxing, something that's very difficult, something that is a serious challenge. And one of the meanings that branches off of this is the work that a stenographer does when somebody is dictating something and the stenographer has to make sure they write it down, they record it exactly as dictated. Again, with that off, again, Waman Yawagabu Anilati Ibrahima. And who is more adverse from the dictate of Abraham? Illa man Safiha Nafsahu, except who makes a fool of himself. So Allah is telling us that the ones who don't want to join in and be a part of this following what was dictated to Ibrahim, then they only make a fool of themselves. Allah says, وَلَكَدِّسْتَفَيْنَهُ, and for a certainty, دِسْتَفَيْنَهُ, we selected him from the best available. This is the word safaya. Safaya means the best available. You go in the store, you want to get some oatmeal, and in your mind, you believe the Quaker Oats brand is the best available. There's other brands, but you want the best available. So I'm not saying Quaker Oats. I'm just using it as a reference. So you will, if you have determined that Quaker Oats is the best available, you get the Quaker Oats brand. Now, I'm sure there's other brands better than Quaker Oats. But if you find what that is, you choose the best available. You hear people whose name is Mustafa. It means chosen. But I'd be very careful about using that name. Why? Because in Surah 2, Ayah 53, Allah says, Allah chooses the best available from the angels as messengers and from men. So that name is reserved for the ones who are the best available. If you say you're Mustafa, you're saying you're the best available. I don't know if you're one of the angelic messengers or the human messengers, so you might want to reconsider that name, Allah Allah. But Allah says this, well, I got this. And for a certainty, we chose him from the best available fit dunya in this lower world. Well, innahu, and surely he, fil akhirati, in the destiny, in the latter day, la min as-salihin, belongs from the ones who are the rectifiers, the correctors, the righteous. Salaha, usually translated righteous, but it really means to correct, to rectify things. Prophet Ibrahim was among the leaders in rectifying false worship. Sure. Let's keep moving. Surah 4, Ayah 125. Surah 4, Ayah 125. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa man ahsanu deenan. And who is more excellent in a religion? Wa man ahsanu deenan. And who is more excellent in a religion? Mimman aslama wajhahu, then who fully submits? Aslama. We get the word Muslim from that. We get Islam from that. Aslama. And it's in the fourth form. It's causative. Miman aslama wajhahu. Then who fully submits his or her whole self? Wajhahu. Lillahi. To and owned by Allah. But that's not all. It's submit a whole self to. And it's to Allah, and Allah owns this submission. Lillahi, that's what the grammar says. Wa huwa muhsinun, and he is an doer of excellence. Wa taba'a millata Ibrahim hanifan, and follows the dictate of Abraham, the one inclined towards the right. Hanifan means to be inclined towards the right. That was the title of Ibrahim. Wa taba'a. Wa taba'a. Taba'a means to follow. But it's in the A form. It has a shadow over the top, meaning the A form, you go out and get something to follow. You bring that thing back to yourself, and you internalize that into your life. So Allah says, وَمَنْ أَصْنُ دِينَ مِمَنْ أَصْلَمَ وَشْحَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُسْلِمُونَ وَتَبَعَ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And who is more excellent in a religion? Then who submits his whole self to and owned by Allah, and he or she is a doer of excellence and follows the dictate of Abraham, one inclined towards the right. وَتَّقَرَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah took Abraham Khalila as an intimate friend. Khalil took Ibrahim, is known as Khalilullah, the intimate friend of Allah. What a wonderful relationship he had. Close friend of Allah. Allah says he took him. Wattaqallahu. And Allah took. Taqaba means to take, but it's the A form. Meaning Allah went out and got Ibrahim, bring Ibrahim back to himself, and kept him there. وَتَقَبَلَّهُ إِبْرَهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah took Abraham as a close friend. So Allah is telling us, if we submit our whole self and we do excellence and we follow this dictate of Abraham, who was inclined towards the right, then Allah, the potential is Allah, can take us as an intimate friend. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let's see what another prophet said about this millah, this dictate. And this is Prophet Yusuf, Prophet Joseph, who descended from the Isaac line, and Isaac was the second son of Prophet Ibrahim. So what did Joseph say? What did Yusuf say about this in legacy of leadership? Surah 12, Ayah 38. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَتَبَّحْتُ مِلَّةَ أَبَائِي إِبْرَهِيمَ. And I have followed the dictate of my fathers Abraham, وَإِسْحَاقَ and Isaac, وَيَعْقُوبَ and Jacob. So all of them, he didn't just skip over. He let us know that the dictate of Abraham was the same dictate that Isaac followed and the same dictate that his father Jacob followed. مَكَانَ لَنَا أَنْ نُسْلِكَ. And not was it for us that we take a partner, بِاللَّهِ, with Allah. So no shirt. This was the dictate. He was practicing no shirt, no partnership. These were the words Allah gave Ibrahim. No shirt, no partnership. مِنْ شَيْءٍ. From anything. That is from the bounty of Allah alayna, on us, wa ala nasi, and on the humanity. All of the humanity is supposed to be on this same pattern of no shirt. Walakina akthar nasa, but the majority of humanity, la yashkuruna, they are not appreciative. They don't show the right thankfulness, appreciativeness, gratefulness to Allah. They associate partners with Allah for the things Allah is exclusively responsible for. They give credit to others. Now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam inherited this legacy of leadership. In Surah 6, Ayah 161, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And this is a command to Prophet Muhammad personally to say this. Kul innani adani Rabbi ila siratin mustaqim. Say, surely for me, my guide and evolver has guided me to a goal-focused path, mustaqim, of the one seeking to be upright. The move means one who. Musta is tenfold seeking to. Keem is from calm, upright. This is not the public path. This is the upright path, the ethical and moral path. I remember in one of Imam Muhammad's lectures, he said that the community life is like a tree. It grows up first, then it branches out. So before you branch out in the public, you got to grow up in your morals, up in your ethics. Cool. In any Hadani Rabbi Ilah Sarafi Mustaqim. Say, surely for me, my guiding evolver has guided me to a goal-focused way of those who seek to be upright. What was that way? Deen and Qiyamah, the upright religion. Milati Ibrahim Hanifan, the dictate of Abraham, the one inclined towards the right. Wa makana min al-mushrikeen, and not was he from the ones who practiced any form of partnership. This is the Miller, no shirt. This is the dictator. Allah is the dictator. He's dictating to Ibrahim. He's dictating to Ishmael. He's dictating to Isaac. He's dictating to Jacob. He's dictating to Joseph. He's dictating to the tribe. He's dictating the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and alayhi salam on all of the other prophets, and he's dictating to us. No shirk. What is shirk? What is partnership? Yes, we think we know, but let's review it in brief. There's shirk al-Akbar. That's a big shirk. Everybody can see that shirk. Yeah, it's very obvious. It's not hidden. It's not hard to detect. It's right out there on Front Street. That's the shirk where somebody says, there's a partner with Allah in the rule of the heavens and the earth and everything between. Or somebody says something else is ruling the heavens and the earth and everything between other than Allah. That's part of it. But that's not the only part. Shirk al-Akbar also includes people who obey others. Allah said this. They are scared of others more than Allah, so they do that. People that are part of Shirk al-Akbar, people who make dua, make their most sincere crying out for help to someone or something or a combination of things other than Allah. Other than Allah. That's also part of Shirk al-Akbar, the biggest shirk. It's big because you can see it. It's not hidden. It's not hard to detect. And then the other part is called Shirk al-Muhabba. That's productive love, loving someone that's going to help us with our productivity more than we should love Allah, who is the ultimate source of all productivity. That's all under just one category of shirk. Then there's what is called Shirk al-Ashgara, the smaller shirk. And that is those who do things in order to be seen, in order to gain praise, in order to show off. And even though it's smaller than the Shirk al-Akbar, it's still easy to detect. You still can tell when a person is showing off. You still can tell when a person is trying to seek praise. You still can tell when a person is trying to get attention to what he or she or they have done. When the reality is, we've really done not much of anything. The only blessing we have in terms of our productivity is the mercy of Allah. Because if Allah would destroy everybody according to what they earn, he said he wouldn't leave anybody on the back of the earth. So let's not get arrogant. It's the mercy of Allah in which gives us any status at all. Our deeds are just very small in the equation. We need the faith. We need the deeds. But don't think it's our faith and our deeds that have us in a good standing. If we're in a good standing, it's the mercy of Allah. Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor. Ar-Rahim, the merciful redeemer. He redeems us even when we don't deserve it, as long as we turn to him with repentance, seeking his mercy and his forgiveness. And then there's Shirk al-Khafi. That's the hard-to-detect shirk. The prophet said it's like a black ant crawling on a black rock or black stone in the pit darkness in the middle of a black night. Different ways it's translated, that hadith. And that shirk is described as when we say things like, well, you know, 10 years ago, kind of just stayed in the Arabic class, I'd be further along. Or if I'd have just took this class, or if I wouldn't have went to that place. No, you cannot change the qadr of Allah, what happened to you, when it happened, who it happened with, what the consequences were. Was already written for you before you were born. Was already written for me before I was born. Was already written for us before any of us came into existence. We're surprised by it. Allah is not. All right, let's move on. Surah 395. So now, Allah tells the prophet to command us to do something. Yes, it's a command to the prophet. But the prophet then gives us an instruction here. And this is in Surah 3, Ayah 95. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul sadaqallahu. Say, Allah has spoken the truth. You know, we say sadaqallahu azim. Allah the tremendous spoke the truth. Let's stop saying Allah speaks the truth. No, this is in the past tense, Sadaqah. He already spoke the truth. We're speaking the truth, but his truth is already spoken. He's not changing it. He don't care about what circumstances, what new world we're into, what new circumstances come up. He's already spoken the truth. Kul Sadaqah Allahu. Say, Allah has spoken the truth. That's in the third tense, person, past tense, masculine. Kul Sadaqah Allahu. Allah has, who say, Allah has spoken the truth. فَتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. Then follow the dictate of Abraham, the one inclined towards the right. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And not was he from the ones that practiced any form of shirk. So, alhamdulillah, the prophet was ordered this, and now the prophet is commanded by Allah to tell us to do the very same thing. No excuses. And there's no excuses for the Christians or the Jews, because they also were given the same legacy as we read in other ayahs. 46, ayah 12. Surah 46, ayah 12. We're talking about the legacy of Imam, the legacy of leadership. وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ. And from before this, وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ. This is 46, ayah 12. وَمِنْ قَبْلِهِ. And from before this, meaning from before this Quran, كِتَابُ مُوسَى. The book of Moses. Imaman, a leader. Moses' book was an imam. So Moses was an imam only if he followed his book. The book Allah established as the imam. Wa rahmatan, and a mercy. Wa hadha kitabun, and this is a book. Musaddiqun, a confirming book. Lisanan Arabian, in the tongue of Arabic. So the Quran now, too, confirms the book of Musa. So if the book of Moses was an imam, then the Quran becomes an imam. The Quran is the imam. So the human imam is only qualified to be an imam if the human imam is implementing the Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Li yunzir al-ladhina zallamu. To warn those who are the wrongdoers, the oppressors, the darkness makers. Zalama has all those roots. So the imam, the leader, the Quran, and the imam representing the Quran, implementing the Quran, probably more accurate, has two main jobs. To warn those who are oppressing people, doing wrongdoing, spreading darkness. And what else? Wa bushra lil muhsinin. And to give the good news, lil muhsinin, to the ones who practice excellence, from hasana. And we have an idea of what hasana is in one of the historic hadiths, the hadith of Jibril, alayhi salam, who came to Nabi Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a human being body shape. And we know the hadith, what is, he asked him, what is Iman, what is Islam? And the prophet answered, and then finally he said, what is Ihsan? From Hasana. And it is to worship Allah as though you see him. And though you don't see him, surely he sees you. What a great state to always be doing work as that we're looking directly at Allah. And though Allah is too bright for us to see directly, we're conscious that he sees us. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Now, was Ibrahim's book an imam also? Did Ibrahim have a book? Since we're prefacing this whole presentation on the legacy of leadership of Ibrahim, let's go to Surah 87, ayah 16. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. 87:16. Bal tusirun al hayat ad dunya. Nay, but they prefer the life of this lower inferior world. Wal akhiratu khairun wa abqa. And the destiny, the latter, is of more benefit and more lasting. Inna hadha lafi suhufil ula. Surely this belongs in the earliest of the pages. Suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. The pages of Abraham and Moses. So yes, Ibrahim had a book too. That was his imam. Allah said he tried him with certain words, the words in the book that he received, those pages, which he fulfilled all of them. Allah said, and Allah made him any man. Now, are we to deny this world by going after the Akhirah? Are we just to just give it up and let other people deal with it? No, this is not what Allah is saying. In Surah 28, Allah says, Surah 28, Ayah 77, and this was a wonderful one of the off-quoted ayahs of Imam Warifuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, Allah's mercy be on him, when he was leading the effort of collective buying with AMCOP and CPC and Group Volume Buy. He loved to recite this ayah to us, and you'll remember it when you hear it. Surah 28, Ayah 77. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. And seek in what Allah has given you, the home of the destiny. Yeah, you the sunlight. Allah gave you that. Use influence of the moon. Allah gave you that. Use your good Hanif nature, your fitra, your natural orientation. Allah gave you that. Use your intelligence. Allah gave you that. Use your energy, your vigor, everything he gave you. وَتَّقِي فِي مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ. And seek in what Allah has given you, the home of the destiny. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And do not forget your share from the dunya. Just your share. Don't try to get your share and my share. I'm not supposed to get my share and your share. Just get your individual share. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهِ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And do excellent, like what Allah has done excellent to you. وَلَا تَقْضِي فَسَادًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And do not تَقْضِي from بَغَيَا. That means to overstep the boundaries. So do not overstep the boundaries and spread corruption in the earth. Spreading the corruption, that means getting the share of everybody else. I want to get the Pakistani share. I want to get the Syrian share. I want to get the Kuwaiti share. I want to get the Egyptian share. I want to get the African share. I want to get the American share. I want to get everybody's share. No, don't spread this corruption in the earth. Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-mufsidin. Surely Allah does not love the ones who spread corruption, who practice corruption. 2574. And this is a wonderful dua, for the family. 2574. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ. And those who say, رَبَّنَا, our God revolver, هَبْلَنَا, bestow on us, مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا, from our spouses, وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا, and from our offspring, Kuwata ayunin. Kuwata. It means kurata. Kurata. Kurata ayunin. Kurata ayunin. A comfort for our eyes. But kurra literally means a coolness. You know, sometimes your eyes are burning. Physically, you put something on it to cool them down, a little cool pack to cool your eyes from the burning. So this is not talking about the physical eyes per se. You could be talking about that. But really, it's really talking about the spiritual eyes. Qurrata ayunin. A comfort for our eyes. Waj'alna. And make us lil muttaqina. To the ones who practice regardfulness. Who practice dutifulness. Proper respect. Proper regard. Proper reverence. In other words, taqwa. Imama, leaders, make us leaders for the ones practicing taqwa. We don't want to be leaders for nobody that don't have no regardfulness. They can't check us. If I'm in front of somebody and I make a mistake and they're not dutiful, they're not regardful, then I may grow in my mistake and lead them. Yeah, how can the blind follow the blind? They're both falling in the ditch together. And there's another saying you hear in the world. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And I'm not talking about physical blindness. I don't think there's an insult to anybody who has that. I'm talking about a spiritual blindness. So the imam wants to be the leader of the ones who have taqwa, because that person will make sure that the imam doesn't get off the path. Just like in the prayer. If I'm leading the prayer and I make a mistake in words or form, then the congregation especially those in the front row that can intervene with the least amount of disturbance, have an obligation to say softly, "That's not the way it's said, buddy, ma'am," or "You went right from Kiam down to Sakta and you didn't go to Rokor." So we draw attention to the mistake. But the people behind you, ma'am, have to be mutaqin. They have to be conscious. They have to be dutiful. The imam doesn't want to lead people that aren't conscious and dutiful. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Now we go to Surah 3, Ayah 104. Very interesting that the word imam comes from the same root letters as the word for mother, and comes from the same root letters as the word for community, ummah. I remember in Christianity, I used to be fascinated by Ezekiel's wheel. Said there was a wheel in a wheel, and everywhere the little wheel went, it influenced the big wheel to go that same way. So the little wheel served as a catalyst. So when I read this ayah, it made me think about that from the Bible, that there's got to be an ummah within the ummah, a little wheel in the big wheel, because it's always a small core group that starts things. It's never the big masses. Allah says the majority of people, don't have faith. So it's always going to be a small core that gets it started. The wheel in the wheel. This ayah reminds me of that. Surah 3, Ayah 104. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wattakum minkum. And let there be minkum from you. Not all of you, but from you. Ummatun, a community. Ya'una ilal khair. That calls, yad'una, this is from the word du'a and dawa, yad'una illal khair, that calls to that which is the most beneficial, wa yamma'una bil ma'rufi, and who commands with the best known high standard, wa yanhauna anil munkari, and who prohibits from that which there is no historical reference for, from the word nakara. Nakara means it's unknown. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These, they are the muflihun. They are the productively successful ones. The muezzin for Salah says, Hayal al-Salah, liven up to the prayer. And we used to be translating that just come to prayer. The whole Muslim world was translating it come to prayer, at least the ones we were in contact with. And Imam Muhammad said, Hayah comes from the word life. So it's not just come to prayer, it's liven up the prayer. Allah guided our imam with so many clarifications and bringing the precision of the Quranic Arabic into plain English terms so we can get a better grasp of its meaning until more of us can get the Arabic for ourselves. Alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah. So, this munkar, anil munkar, wa ulaika humul muflihun. And these, they are the muflihun, the productively successful ones. The muezzin also calls it the hail al-falah. Hail al-falah. Liven up to productive success. And I know it just says success oftentimes in translation, but the word falaha comes from a root word that also branches off to falahi, which in Arabic means a farmer. A farmer doesn't have any abstract success. A farmer has success that is productivity. Takes a seed, puts it in an environment. He cultivates that environment. He separates, as Jesus said, according to the Bible, the wheat from the tares. He gets the negative influences out of the garden, whether they're trees, weeds, or whatever. He makes sure they don't stunt the life of that which is going to be a benefit. And then he cultivates and has a harvest and produces something that is a benefit to society. So this al-muflihun from Falaha is a productive success. Alhamdulillah. And now we close with one final ayah as we open up the phone line. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Surah 22, Ayah 78. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. And exert yourself. Jihad. Struggle, strive. Exert yourself. فِي اللَّهِ. In Allah. We often hear وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And struggle in the public ways of Allah. And that's true too. But in this particular ayah, Allah didn't say فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ in the public ways. And interesting enough, they tried to make mockery of the public ways, and they had a movie out one time they called Sybil. The way public way is Sabil, Fi Sabil. And they had a movie out, Sybil. And Sybil was crazy in the movie. And I guess they're signed talking to each other and trying to talk above our heads, but Allah has blessed our heads to rise up into the skies with our feet staying firm on the earth. And we see that they're trying to make the public ways crazy, and they have. But there he do fi lahi haka jihadihi. And exert yourself in Allah. Haka jihadihi. With the reality or with the real exertion that is his. Allah owns our struggle, our striving. Who was tabaku? He has collected you from jabaya. But it's an inform. Meaning Allah said, I've looked at certain families, and this is the one I want to be the Muslim to come into this community. I've looked at the prison. I'm pulling this one out to come into this religion. I've looked into the educational environment. I'm pulling these educators out to become Muslims. I'm looking into construction trade. I'm collecting this person from over here. Sometimes it's translated chosen, but Jabaya means to collect. Huwastabakum, he has collected all of you. Wamaja Allah alaykum, and not placed on you feeding in the religion minharad, from any hardship. What level of struggle is this that Allah is telling us when we get to it and he's collected us for it, there's no hardship. Milata abikum Ibrahim. It is the dictate of your father Abraham. So if it's your father's dictate, that potential is in you. Wassamakum al-Muslimin. He have named you the ones who fully submit, al-Muslimin. Min Kablu, from before, meaning in Ibrahim's dua, where he made dua, recorded in the Quran, that from his offspring, there would be descendants, there would be a people Muslim. And he would raise a messenger from them. And between Prophet Ibrahim, dua, and Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and alayhi salam on Ibrahim, it was about 2,400 years. What a powerful dua. وَسَّمَاكُمُ مُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِيهَ ذَا. He have named you the ones who submit from before, وَفِيهَ ذَا. In this, meaning in this Quran. So Ibrahim named us the ones who submit. He didn't name us Sunni Muslim. He didn't name us Shi'i Muslim. He didn't name us Hanafi Muslim. He didn't name us Maliki Muslim. He didn't name us Shafi'i Muslim. He didn't name us Hanbali Muslim. He didn't name us Ahmadiyya Muslim. He didn't name us Salafiyya Muslim. But don't get sensitive. He didn't name us Waridadeen Muslim. He didn't name us Farrakhani Muslim. He didn't name us African Muslim. He didn't name us American Muslim. He didn't name us any name that put an ethnic, geographic, or cultural title on it. Because this is a universal model. It's not a local model. It's not a regional model. It's not a national model. It's a global model. وَسَّمَاكُمُ مُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِيهَ ذَا. He have named you all the ones who submit from before and in this. For what purpose? لِيَكُونَ رَسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ. That the messenger will be a witness on you. And what do we have to do? And being a witness also means shahada means to be present. He has to be present in our lives. وَتَكُونُ شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. And that you, plural you, will be witnesses on humanity. That humanity doesn't need an ethnic witness. It doesn't need a geographic witness. It doesn't need a generational witness. It doesn't need an association witness. It needs a universal witness. So with this great responsibility, we must remain humble. فَأَكِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. Therefore, plural you, establish the prayer. And we have to be conscious of the needs of others. وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. And pay the obligatory charity. وَتَصِّمُوا بِاللَّهِ. And hold firmly بِاللَّهِ. With Allah. Sometimes they say to Allah. They don't say لِلَّهِ. He says بِاللَّهِ. Meaning Allah is holding too. So if we hold firmly and he's holding, there'll be no breaking. For مَوْلَكُمْ. He is your protecting friend. فَنِسْمَ الْمَوْلَى. Therefore, a most favored protecting friend, وَنِفْمَنْ نَسِيرُ, and a most favored helper. Sadaqallahu azim, Allah the Tremendous spoke the truth. We open up the phone lines, alhamdulillah. If anyone has any comments or questions, please hit 1 on your keypad, and inshallah, we'll bring you into the host queue. Yes, Well, I'm going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back, inshallah.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, blog, talk, radio, 24/7, Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join Famico Publishers in supporting AM 360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
Do you remember Mujaddid Waruthuddin Muhammad? Mosque Cares. Believers wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Mosque Cares, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Don't forget, Mujaddid Waruthuddin Muhammad and Mosque Cares. They appreciate your support, and so do American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is we will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Muslim radio station.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum. Again, this is your brother Khalifa Ramadan back with you on American Muslim 360 Law Talk Radio with the newly moved program called Implementing the Quran that used to air on Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we moved to Friday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. And I want to make a clarification. I do want to express my respect for the name of American Muslim 360. I had given a personal preference in terms of something I had suggested, but the reality is organizations are what they are. They've developed a name, and so we want to respect that name of American Muslim 360, and we'll refer to anytime we're on it, this program or calling on another, we will respect the name of American Muslim 360. So I want to clear the air about that. You know, we have to be flexible. We can have our personal preferences, but we hear other people out, and, you know, they spend a lot of money on the logo, spend not a lot of money on the name, and reality is nobody's committing a sin. We just, there's different preferences in terms of how we think certain things should be called, but we're not going to let our preferences get in the way of our brotherhood, of our oneness of community life. And we're going to turn to our brother now. Here, I believe it's a brother. I think I recognize his number, but if it's a sister, please forgive me. Area code 813, Assalamu alaikum. Eric, 813. Let me see. Hold on.
I want to say something. It was lag when Brother Thomas, when he was. Yeah.
Hold on. But when you were talking initially, you didn't come in because it kind of toggled a little bit. So we didn't hear your first words. So repeat them. Say them all over again for us.
Okay, alhamdulillah. I just was saying that when Brother Thomas was talking about it last night, and went off and gave my thing about it, right? But then when you came back, cause see, I know a little bit of your character, you know, and the way it was dealt with, I said, man, it's good here, and alhamdulillah that Allah have us that way with each other, you know. We ain't antagonistic about nothing, and we handle things in a real good manner, and I love that about us. So alhamdulillah, Rabbi Al-Alamin. Look, you know what it is? I didn't get the first part. Can you just give me a little play on leadership? I mean, you can make it brief, or if you can just take on it right now from there, it'll be good too.
Okay, basically where we started off is as we are entering into the we're in the Hajj season. You know, we're in the period where people are preparing for Hajj. Some have already gone over. Some will be going over. So we wanted to show the common legacy of leadership that Allah established with Prophet Ibrahim, who was the one who founded the Hajj. And so we wanted to show from Ibrahim all the way forward to the Prophet Muhammad and all the way to us, even to today, that all of us are following that legacy of leadership that Allah established with Prophet Ibrahim. So that was the kind of whole focus of tonight's program.
Alhamdulillah. It was something I'd like to share, too, about the fact that, you know, how very important it is for us to select a mate at a certain time on the principle of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and what was left for us by the Prophet. Because you get into a situation, and this one I was faced with, and I seen a brother, they had got a good position over in, you know, over in Saudi Arabia as teachers. But a situation came up where the brother, he couldn't leave the United States because of child support issue. It was too much, so they wouldn't even give him a passport to go over. Okay. Oh, so I was thinking, I said, look how important it is for us to be very selected in our mates and do it the way that Rasulullah, you know, told us that it should be done, because of the fact that if we don't do it, we can turn out, we can put ourselves in a position we won't even be able to make the Hajj. So, you know, alhamdulillah, this is something I wanted to say.
Alhamdulillah. That is, brother, that is so beautiful. You know, we have some commandments in the religion that are daily, you know, our daily prayers. We have others that are weekly, like the big congregation, the Jummah. We have others that are yearly, like an annual fast. And we have Hajj, which is just lifetime. We're only obligated to do it once in a lifetime. So once we're conscious of it, we should be making plans, saving money, preparing ourselves, getting ourselves physically fit, anything it takes in order to make that once-in-a-lifetime obligation. So you are so right. We have to really be dutiful and conscious of the obligation of Hajj. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you, Brother Bilal. Did you have any comments?
No, this is it. Let me get on. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. We thank you for that contribution. I saw another person that was on. Looks like they may have dropped off the call. They were in the host queue. Let me tell you what I plan to do now. Unless there's someone else who has a comment, I have to make Maghrib a prayer. So what I have pulled up is the very last Jummah khutbah that Allah allowed our Imam Warifuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, Allah's mercy be on him, to deliver at Cobo Hall during the annual convention in 2008. Many of you were there, or if you weren't there, you may have by now seen the DVD or listened to the CD, which is available at WDM Publications. But alhamdulillah, this was, in my view, the Imam's most important presentation in summarizing his whole mission. I'm not saying don't listen to the other ones. Listen to all of them you can get your hand on. Listen to them multiple times. What I'm saying is that it summarizes the main emphasis of his mission in a similar way that the Prophet's khutbah on Mount Arafat during his only Hajj in the last year of his life summarized the main elements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mission. So I want us, inshallah, to listen to this with an intensity to listen for some main themes that come out, that you pick out. And then once we complete listening to this khutbah, inshallah, we will then open the mic back up, the lines back up, and have dialogue and share with each other some of the main points that we assess that the Imam left with us by Allah's permission.
Allahu Akbar, Allah. Oh,
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن
This is the day of Jummah, and of this day, Friday, the Prophet said it is the best day in the year. The day of congregation, the day of Muslims coming together in big numbers, leaving their business interests, shutting down their businesses to come and answer the call to Islam. The call given the name Adhan. Adhan means that which is to be heard, respected, and responded to. That goes into the ears and is to be heard, respected, and responded to. It is Adhan, the words of the Adhan, beginning with Hay, meaning life, come to life, come lively, not drooping, to answer the call to Islam, to answer the call to Islam. And when we observe the words of the Adhan, those words establish the creed, La ilaha illallah. There is no God but one, Allah, the God. And Muhammad is his messenger. Muhammad is the messenger of God. That's the creed, that's the Muslim creed. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There is but one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. And when we consider all the words, beginning with the first expression, Hayy, to the end of it, La ilaha illallah, to the end of it, we see the foundation of what should be, at least, what should be the foundation of Islamic life, the foundation of Muslim life, of Muslim life. The Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan, which is approaching. It is a month of restraint, self-discipline in the spirit, in the mind, certainly in the flesh, a complete discipline a month of self-restraint during the daylight hours from the first appearance of the dawn, a light in the sky in the eastern horizon, till the sunset. A period of cleansing, a period of intense concentration and devotion to obedience under the one God, Allah. As I said, the month is approaching. It came down as revelation during the nighttime. That night is called the night of power. Therein descended the spirit and the angels, following every command given to them by God. Allah says, when of Adam addressing the angels and referring to the respect that should be given to Adam in the form that God made him, a ruler, a responsible ruler, responsible to his creator, to Allah. When I have given to him from my spirit, Allah says, supporting Adam, when I have given to him from my spirit, min ruhi, from my spirit, Allah says to the angels, make sajda to him. We pray facing the Kaaba, our Qibla, and we make sajda. We are making sajda to Adam. We are making sajda to the model that Allah wants for human excellence on this planet Earth. A model for all human life to emulate, to follow. It is recorded in the most popular collection of transmitted words or hadith of our Prophet, the Prophet, the last Prophet, that a time would come for the world to see Christ Jesus and Muhammad, peace be upon both of them, the Prophet of the Quran, Muhammad, the Prophet of the Quran, in the same focus. That is to say, a time for seeing the two together, Christ Jesus and Allah's servant and messenger, Muhammad. Both Christ Jesus and Muhammad the Messenger are given to the human community as models of the human excellence supported by Scripture. Scripture that came before the Quran and the Quran and in the Quran. Both are models for believers, not just Muslim believers. Allah says Muhammad is certainly an excellent model for any who believe in God and believe that they will have to answer to that God in the last day. Both are given to the human community to be emulated, that is, to be followed as an example. We know for the Muslims in the following of Muhammad the last prophet, Muhammad is that model. And that should tell us that whatever was in Jesus before as a model to be followed, when Muhammad comes, he is the model to be followed. And he is enough for all mankind. And Allah says of him, he is enough as a model for all human beings, for all of humanity, or for all mankind. And this is in answer to prophecy, that after Jesus, there would come, peace be on Christ Jesus, after Jesus, there would come one following his model, following after his model, there would come one who would lead the people into all truth. And we know with Prophet Muhammad's advent on this planet Earth, there followed scholars who came from many places, east, west, north, south, to gather around the call to Islam. And they were inspired by the words of the Quran and the leadership of our Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, to devote their intelligence, devote their intellectual curiosities to a new search for a better life for human beings on this planet Earth. And as a result, universities sprung up on the continent of on the peninsula of Arabia, but more so on the continent of Africa, in Egypt and in Fez, Morocco, and in Ghana, in that area we call Ghana now, in Syria, close by Arabia, and in other places. Iraq, there sprung up great institutions of higher learning. And the servants of God say in the Quran, and we wouldn't have found our path to academic excellence, to the sciences and academic excellence, had you not guided us. That is to say, it was the guidance of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet that guided the leaders to the Quran and to the understanding in the Quran that accounts for that new spring up, rising up of higher institutions of higher learning in the early time of our Prophet. And we know that light for the intellect, it awakened in non-Muslims who were of spiritual excellence and committed to the improvement of the human race on this planet Earth. It sparked in them a renewal called the Renaissance. And as a result, they too were able to come out of ignorance, out of the slump that had covered the world, the darkness of ignorance that had covered the world. They were able to recuperate from that, and as a result, we have the beginning of intellectual devotions in the Christian people and in the Jewish people. Jews told me this themselves out of their own mouth. And in the Jewish people, we see in the history that the renewal of interest in higher learning, devotion to the sciences, and better conditions for human beings on this planet Earth. This statement could be extended. I could elaborate on it more and more and more. But for the purpose here today, we are addressing Adam, and the focus is on Adam, the first father of mankind. It is recorded also, and we know these familiar words, Adam was created on a pattern of 60 arm spans. Further, the prophet said, no one dies or is resurrected except on that pattern. For those who, of you, most of you, who came from church leadership in your life, we know that Christ Jesus is given as a sign of the resurrection and the resurrection itself. He is a personification, a picture of the resurrection itself. And we know that it is said in the Bible of Jesus Christ that he is the son of Adam. We know he's the son of the Word. He's the son of the Spirit. He's the son of the Word. He's created, that is. He's created by the Spirit, and he was created by the Word of God. In our religion, we understand that we don't say son because it is an offense in our language. It is an offense to say that he is the son of God. A serious offense. We understand that language to mean that God created him as he created Adam. That he created Christ Jesus as he created Adam. And Adam had no existence before God created him. And therefore, Jesus had no existence before God created him. And he created him as he created Adam. And the Bible supports this position that is taken in Islam. The Bible supports it. If you read if you read in the Bible the genealogy of Christ Jesus, the genealogy saying where his life came from goes back to Adam. And the Bible says, and he was created by God. So it goes back to the father, the first father, and it is said of the first father, he was created by God. So that establishes a line of reasoning that says in the Bible that Jesus is called the Son of God by reasoning that identifies him as the extension of the first Adam, the first father, Adam. And that father was not the son of a man. That father was the creation of God. But he does not go back. We have to understand now that we should visualize Jesus Christ not as human flesh. That's the big mistake the world makes. We should visualize Jesus Christ not as human flesh, but we should visualize him as the flesh of the Word. And the Bible supports that also. It says that of Jesus Christ, his flesh is the doctrine of the New Testament. And his blood is the spirit of the doctrine. That is the doctrine of the New Testament. His blood is the spirit. His flesh is the language, the doctrine itself. What is doctrine? Teachings. You see? So this is plain. This is very clear in the Bible. Very clear it is that the language of Islam is supported by the language of the Bible. Very clear it is that the language uncovering the mystery of Christ Jesus in the Quran is supported by the language explaining the mystery of Christ Jesus in the Bible. So we are to see Christ Jesus as a model directing the people to have faith and believe in Christ Jesus and in themselves. Because Jesus Christ didn't say that Christ was only in him. He said, I in the Father. The Father in me. And he said, and I in you. So all Christians who are taught by their learned leaders, they know consciously or unconsciously, they know that we all who say we follow Christ Jesus should be trying in our life as believers to be Christ-like. And that all of us have the Christ principle in us. It's inherent. The Christ principle is inherent. In fact, the Muhammad's model is in all of us. Muhammad didn't separate himself from Christ Jesus and pointing to his people, to the people, as having what he had also in him, in himself. Because he said, surely I am a mortal like you. That's what he said. Surely I am a mortal like you. So he's saying the same thing that Christ Jesus said, but he said, I in you. Christ in you. He said, I'm a mortal like you. Meaning that whatever I am as a mortal, the possibilities for that is also in you. All human beings are created by one creator, and they all have the inherent nature to inherit the excellent model that God wants in all of us. We get it by inheritance. By inheritance, we get it also. So Allah didn't give us a model of human excellence, an uswa, hasana, a model of human excellence to follow that is impossible for us. Rather, he gave us a model in the prophet to follow that is inherently our property also. It is the property also of our own nature and creation. Aren't we one human flesh? Are all people one human flesh, including the best of their leaders? Aren't we all one human flesh? Prophets, messengers of God and prophets, if they are mortals, we all belong to the same and the one human flesh that God created when he created Adam. And we are all extensions of that creation that God made when he created Adam. Adam is not passed away. Adam is in all of us. And if Adam has the possibility to become Christ, then that possibility also is in all of us. Is in all of us. So let's not continue to be burdened by mysteries. This is a time of transparency for religious people. We shouldn't be burdened by mysteries. It is time for us all to come where Prophet Muhammad and before him Prophet Jesus was established to take us. It's time to be there now. All the prophecies point to this time. This is the fulfillment of all the great issues in Scripture. This time is the fulfillment of all the great issues in Scripture. When will time come if not now? Never. This is the time. And all the signs point to this being the time. All the signs in the Scripture and all the signs in the great workings that we see in the world to bring man home. Home to his destiny for his human excellence. So I return now to the language in the hadith, the sayings of our prophet, prayers and peace be on him, that Adam was created on a pattern of 60 arm spans. 60 arm spans. Why arm? Because we work with our arms. And the arm supports our hand that does the delicate and skill work, as well as the manual labor. The hand. The hand writes. The hand records and saves the precious information in history to pass it on to the coming generations. Huh? But the hand also does skilled labor to type, to run very complicated machines, etc., and to do very complicated things in industry. The hand. Skilled. And it is supported by the arm. And the same arm will use what the hand has done and can do. It will use it as a force to advance society, to advance civilization, to defend society, to defend civilization. We say the armed force. Yes. Military. Huh? Yes. So on a pattern of 60 arm spans, that's far-reaching, brother. That saying of the prophet is far-reaching. And no one is resurrected except on that pattern. So what is that plainly telling us? And the son of Elijah Muhammad can give it to you. What is that plainly telling us? It is plainly telling us that the religion comes to better civilization and to liberate even civilization. But it becomes stagnant, when it stops and can't see any way to continue in the road of progress for human society. The religion comes to give it life again and to put the world back on the road to civilization. And what did a wise reformer say that came to the black bottoms of Detroit, among the poorest of the black people? What did he say? The duty of a civilized person is to teach the uncivilized. Huh? All right. No doubt then that 60 arm spans refers to the community's social life and social consciousness. The Muslim community is established in Medina, the city of enlightenment. There is much to say about it. It was in this city, Medina, Al-Munawwara, that city of the Prophet, that the Ummah was established as a model and as a model reference, to be revisited by knowledgeable Muslim thinkers in all periods of time to come. We have to revisit that great work of our Prophet and see, are we still there or have we lost our way? So we pray to Allah, our Lord, let us not deviate and go back into darkness after you have guided us aright. Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu ala Muhammadin. Ala Muhammadin. رسول الله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. Dear gathering of believers, Muslims, if we don't individually except to be responsible for our moral life, Satan has planned a great scheme that's working in man's life, in his public life, and in his private life, to take that moral life away from you and render you morally dead. Morally ignorant, morally dead. And that's the condition in most of the public today. The behavior, the public behavior, tells us that most of the public is morally dead. Morally dead, morally ignorant, morally dead. Without an interest in keeping your life moving forward, improving as an intelligent life, and improving as a moral life. Without that in us, that desire for better, that desire for more excellence in our life, without that in us constantly, we lose the way. We lose the guidance in our life. We lose interest in even going to seek the guidance from those who got it. We fall victim to the plan of Satan to take us out of human excellence, out of human properties, and give us to nothing but animal flesh life, where we are satisfied just to have animal pleasures. Don't you know animals like to come home to their families? Don't you know animals like to have privacy with their wives? Don't you know animals like to dress up nicely? Huh? Prune themselves and groom themselves and look nice. And don't you know they have pride in that too? When they know they cleaned up good and pruned good and combed good, they walk a little bit more higher. They strut a little bit more higher across the lawn or through the wilderness. Nevertheless, they are animals. And they can be possessed by men, herded by men, corralled by men. I hope you're listening. Corralled by men. Contained in a place for dumb brutes by men. We have to be motivated and self-driven. The human being is not a donkey. The human being is not a cow. The human being is above all animals. The human appetite is not limited to physical appearance and physical concerns or material interests. And material concerns. The human life begins to show itself when man translates material things into higher concepts. When he translates those things that appear to be no more than physical things in the eyes of most, he translates them, and he translates them in a way to present a higher reading, a higher script, a higher definition of those things. For the light of physical things is not as high as the light of intelligence and scientific insight. Scientific insights. Sight is a higher reading of
has to be material and physical only. So man has been created for this much higher existence, much higher existence. And in all of us should be an appetite for the higher existence that Allah intends for all human beings.
Yes, sir.
All of us should have that appetite.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Prophet Muhammad's way, his way, does not excuse male, does not excuse female from being responsible for keeping the ummah, for keeping the community life and its destiny. All of us share in that responsibility.
Right. Yep.
So we pray Sunday prayers. And no man can lead us in those prayers. We have to pray them ourselves. No one can lead us. That is a mighty sign in the Prophet's Sunnah to open our eyes that his Sunnah, not those of the past, his Sunnah, his way, his tradition, is the way that puts the responsibility for civilization and the future of civilization on every adult, male and female, and we are even to raise our children before they even become adults to be able to lead themselves in prayer. A sign that all of us have to accept responsibility for establishing or keeping the establishment of the Prophet Ummah and advancing it. And if you understand his Ummah is much bigger than what we are looking at when we are looking at Muslim gatherings today in this world. Much bigger than that. Much bigger than that. If we were still in that essence and still in that pattern and still on that path, we wouldn't be so divided and so disrupted in our life as we are as Muslims on this planet Earth today. There shouldn't be any jealousies in us. There should be no envy in us. Bigger than our unity, bigger than our desire to carry this great life as long as we live, in hopes that it becomes more and more beautiful for all the generations and more excellent for all the generations to come after we have passed away. Huh? That's the big focus. That's the big job. It should be bigger than our jealousies, bigger than our envy. We should be able to bite our lip until it bleeds. Dang, I don't like that, brother. I don't like that imam that most of them follow. And come right on to the Jummah and get in line with everybody else and follow that imam. Follow that imam. Bite your tongue until it bleeds. Bite your lip until it bleeds. But stand on the line. Go get the blood off of you and get yourself ready for prayer. And stand in line and follow the best imam you got. And if that's not this imam, find the one that's the best. The Prophet Muhammad. Thank you, my brother. May Allah guide us to the straight way always. Ameen. The Prophet Muhammad said that he was sent expressly to do what? To establish good character. Good character. If we remain in touch with the inherent movement in our soul and in our mind and our whole life for excellence, for human excellence, we will constantly show growth and improvement in human character. Human character. And Dr. Martin Luther King said he prayed, he hoped, he saw, he believed, pardon me, he hoped, he expected a day will come. He showed faith in it. When a man will not be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. Isn't that what he said? Well, is not he in love?
with the model of Christ Jesus, the excellent model of Christ Jesus and Muhammad? Yes, he was. He was speaking from that essence. He was speaking from his Christ essence. He was speaking from his Muslim essence when he said that. That the day will come, the man will not be judged by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. That day is here now. Oh Allah, Ya Allah, help the Muslims rely more on your word, the Quran, and on the model for human excellence in the last prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us be purified by your purifier, the Quran, and the way of Muhammad the Prophet. Let Muslims come and be purified. Let Muslims come from darkness, their darkness, into the light, your light. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Khalifa Ramadan returning back to you live after we just heard the very last Jummah khutbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal allowed Imam Warifuddin Muhammad rahimullah alayh to deliver just a couple weeks before he returned to Allah on the occasion of the annual Mosque Cares Convention in 2008 in Cobo Hall, at the annual Mosque Cares Convention. So now we want to open up the phone lines. As we said, we wanted to listen to this Jummah khutbah with serious intensity to pull out some of the main points in which the Imam emphasized in what has now become his last Jummah khutbah. I know there was the public address and the group volume by address and shared freedom space that happened just a few days before his passing and other lectures. But for me, since Allah has prioritized Jummah over any other day of the week, then I take this as the most important of his addresses in that, in my view, summarizes the main emphasis of his entire leadership. So if anyone has a comment or a question, please press 1, and inshallah, we will bring you into the host queue. We see Brother Abdul Hakim out of Wilmington, Delaware. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Welcome to Allah, Brother Imam. How are you tonight?
Alhamdulillah, ana tayyib wa anta.
Brother Imam, I just wanted to thank you for the programming, the replay that you did, and also allowing us to relive somewhat some of the great teachings of Wafi Muhammad. May Allah grant him paradise and forgive me. But I wanted to comment on two things. The way he used to teach us. And I saw him on 3 different occasions. Allah blessed me to be able to hear this great man. And he used the words renaissance, you know, talking about coming out of the darkness, the light, coming into the light, coming out of the ignorance into the light of intelligence. And then he spoke about, he actually gave dawah. He did 2 things in one, you know, when he was addressing the Christian audience as well as the Muslims. But he was able to, how he was able to give dawah at the same time that he taught us. So alhamdulillah, that's excellent programming, Brother Imam. And those are the 2 comments that I wanted to make. It was good to hear those 2 things.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Thank you. And that's what we're asking people to do, to pull out of the Imam's lectures things that, and I'm sure Abdul Hakim could have pulled other things out. He's generous in that he wants to hear from others. But we thank him for pulling out 2 main points in terms of the Imam's last Jummah khutbah. Thank you. Let me go to area code 636. Area code 636. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I'm Kareem Hamid from St. Louis, Missouri. What I got, the main subject, the main thing that the imam was pointing to, trying to get us to see that we are in darkness. And we are in darkness because we have let go of our good moral character. Our good moral character. We can stack bricks up and call and name that place whatever we want to. We can call it New Medina, New Africa, or whatever. But let us be honest with ourselves. We have our good moral character. We have let it slip. We must speak to that. We must call each other back to our good moral character. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even before revelation was revealed to him, he had good moral character. And that is the platform. That is what we must have. Allah will not bless us if we expected to build something or come into the sciences and the higher degrees of learning, unless we return back to the platform of good moral character. We must insist upon that and not shipshod, not let it be a mediocre, not overlook. Let us call each other to account and bring us back to our moral character. We can't continue to play with this. The civilization of the whole world is dependent upon us that say we believe. Let's get back to our good moral character. If you see me slipping, please call me back to my good moral character. Speak it in the basket. I don't care. Call me back to my good moral character. That is what we must do. That is why we're in the dark. That's what I got from Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, brother. Alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam. And I'm going to be in the posse of facilitator, so I really want as many people to make comments as possible. I'm not going to try to comment over someone's comments. I want all of us to hear as many comments from those who listen as possible. So let me go to area code. 727.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm going to have to make this quick, but alhamdulillah, the part that I did get to hear, I'm at work, and alhamdulillah, Imam Khalifa Ramadan, I'm greeting you and the audience. Okay?
Thank you. Alhamdulillah, yes, ma'am.
Yes. Now, what I wanted to comment on, and I'm going to like surface it, like stand away and hear what the imam was saying, and then come back to the view of, especially when he zoomed in on the female being responsible for the community life as well, the ummah. And I couldn't help but feel, okay, the parallel, I like to look at the parallel to confirm what the imam is saying, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam represented, and what Prophet Esau represented, and in connection with Adam, alayhi salam. So I looked, and I'm going, the language that we're reading in the Quran is also, when we read it, we have to look deeper into the science, not just science for science's sake, but look at how it's constructed, look at how the letters that are used constantly with certain other letters and how they change and get in different positions, and then we say, well, this is masculine and this is feminine. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn a balance to show that that's a pattern also. The pattern of Adam, alayhi salam, is in the construct of the language in which we speak and which builds our culture. And if we're going to have a balanced community life and coming from both the male and the female, not male and female referencing the Quran when we say masculine, feminine, it's not speaking of the physical, but when we look at ourselves embodied wise and the intelligence that we come away with, come out with, then we have to see that when the female is in a position in Salat, and I'm saying in Salat now because Juma and so forth, when we see that, that should be a sign to us to speak as the community-wide is as good as the female of society, and that is the language, the knowledge, the culture, the understanding. And then when it comes, when the leadership steps out from it, then we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you only can do as good as your understanding of Allah's word. And that's where the imam was referencing the word with Prophet Isa and how the creation of Adam alayhi salam was not, without any parent, so to speak, in the physical sense. And I know I'm skipping around here, but I'm trying to draw our attention to see ourselves in the Quran, in the formation of the word, and become the word as I in you and you in me, so to speak. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Martha, too, down in Florida, correct?
Correct. In St. Petersburg, New Africa, USA. St. Petersburg, Florida, New Africa, USA.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, sister.
You're more than welcome.
Alhamdulillah. I will reiterate this. I said I wasn't going to make many comments, but something she said is so, so important. Allah uses words in a very precise way. And the word for community is ummah. The word for mother is umm. The word for leader is imam. And all three of those words all come from the same triliteral root. So the imam to the congregation is like a mother to the family. And the ummah to the world is like a mother to the family. All of these words are rooted in the same way. So if we look at it like that, the mother realizes that in her children, they have children with different temperaments, and they may need different interventions. They don't all, one size doesn't fit all. When she goes shopping, she just can't get one size to fit everybody. When she makes dinner, she oftentimes will cook through the special taste of some, and one day one favorite dessert might be there, another day somebody else's favorite dessert. There may be a child that's more like the mother in temperament, but that's not going to make the mother favor that child over the other child. She's going to try her best to provide the best support to all of them because in that role as mother, it's a nurturing role. Therefore, the imam's role must be nurturing, and the ummah's role also must be nurturing. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Let me go to area code 815. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Christine Rashida Saleem from Rockford, Illinois. And what struck me was when he said Muhammad was sent to establish good character. And can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. He was sent to establish good character and also the prayer, that his closing prayer of the Juma. I love that prayer because it said a whole lot, too. And also, is there a way to contact you?
Yes, let me give you an email address as well as a phone number. The email would be K Ramadan, K R A M A D A N, K Ramadan at AOL.com. You can contact me at that. Or in the phone number, 716-812-1404. 716-812-1404.
Yes, and I love that you played that that Juma tape. I've listened to it a lot, and every time you hear it, you hear more. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah. You're welcome. Let me, one brother from St. Louis emphasized character. Sister Martha also alluded to character, and then the sister just calling in also focused on character. But she also kind of emphasized that very last dua. I've listened to a lot of Jumas live as well as on TV or DVD or VHS, audio cassette of the imam. I've never heard the imam in all the ones I've ever heard live or through the technology, the media, different mediums of recording, the imam started dua by using the Arabic term, Ya Allah. Usually, oh Allah, but here he said, Ya Allah. He actually used the Arabic term of Arabia. And he emphasized for us to come from darkness, our darkness, into the light, Allah's light. So So if he's making that dua, and as the brother was saying a little bit earlier about character, let's not check and dive. Let's not act like it's something it's not. The reality is the Ummah globally, the society globally, has sunk back from light after being enlightened, coming out of the Renaissance, coming out of darkness with the Renaissance, with the rebirth, coming out of darknesses in India, in Pakistan, Bangladesh, Africa, even our association here. But in many ways, we've slipped back into darkness. And Zulamat in Quran is not really translated darkness. It's actually darknesses. We have spiritual darkness, false worship. We have political darkness, hierarchical ruling orders. We have economic darkness, wealth just circulating among the few. We have social darkness, cultural darkness, educational darkness, so many different darknesses. And obviously we have darkness in ethics and morals. One of the things Imam Muhammad said in a speech early on, he says the community life is like a tree, and so is our individual life. It has to grow up first before it branches out. And so the upward growth of the tree is the ethical and moral uprightness. And only from that position are we qualified to branch out and benefit society. We have several callers that still have one pushed. So I don't know if you're still on from before or you have another follow-up. So for me to know that, hit one to go back off and then hit one again to come back on, and that will alert me that you have a follow-up comment. If you don't do that, then I'll just assume that you're still on because you were on from before. Okay, 636 went off and came back in. Here goes 636. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. It is Kareem Hamid from St. Louis. And I would like to say that our Prophet Muhammad, his individual life, he was doing all right. He had a very profitable business. He had a loving wife. He had prestige in the society in which he lived in. They called him the trustworthy one, El-Amin. But his concern went beyond himself. Beyond himself, and he saw the condition in the society, and it troubled that good character that he had. His character was so good that it could carry the weight of the heavy word of the Quran, and we must look at that, that before Allah blessed him with revelation, his character was of a nature to handle that blessing that was coming from the revealed word. And that's what I would like to emphasize once more, that we must get back to that character. We look at our past, and we always speak of what was done economically, the piling up of bricks, and we had farms, we had and all of that. But at the very beginning, the essence of the nation of Islam, it was always pointed towards good honesty, moral character. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, even if you work for a white man, give him an honest day's work. So that's character building. And somewhere along the line, we got so caught up with the stacking up of bricks. And the animal feeding our animal appetite, the animal nature, that we and I know in this time, at right now, our moral character is in shambles. I won't go. We all know this. It is let us call ourselves back. Call us back to good moral character. Then Allah will bless our efforts in the sciences, the language, and everything else that springs from that. But we must, but the foundation of it must come from good moral A mother that does not have good moral character cannot raise a good moral child. A father that does not have good moral character cannot lead a good moral family. We're speaking of community life, but at its very base, the foundation is the moral character found in the messengers that culminated in the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That I just wanted to reiterate that. Assalamu alaikum.
We thank you so much for that emphasis. As we know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inheriting the tradition of excellent character from the prophet that came before him, as we went over in some of the earlier readings in the ayahs of Quran. So this was, as Imam even said, it's an inheritance. We inherit this. This is a part of our innate nature, our hanif nature, our original pattern, our fitra. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described by his own people as El Amin, as we know, trustworthy and upsotted, the truthful. But Allah described him also in the Quran that he found him on Khulukan Abin, a tremendously structured character. Khulukan Abin, a tremendously structured character. One of the examples, many examples in the life of the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, prior to his getting wahi, the nazala, the book being sent down to him, and him getting wahi, inspiration from the book. Prior to that, there was many, many examples, but one such example was when the Kaaba had been partially destroyed and had to be rebuilt, as the brother talked about the building of the bricks and mortar. But there was a sacred stone, the cornerstone, that those who are in masonry, they know about that cornerstone. But this is the cornerstone of human excellence, symbolized in the cornerstone of the building of the house. But at any rate, the cornerstone needed to be put back in its place. And the tribes were almost on the verge, pre-Islam, of civil war, of which one was going to have the honor to put it back into its place. And they decided, because they were very superstitious, with all of their power and all of their trading and all of their traveling in caravans and et cetera, and all of their tribal disputes, they were very, very superstitious. So they once suggested the next person that comes around the corner and comes into our physical sight, we're going to let that person decide. And Allah knows best. It was Nabi Muhammad. At that time, he was Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah. He was not mentioned as the prophet. He was the one that came, and they were so happy because they said, this is El Amin. He's trustworthy. He's apostolic. He's truthful. They knew he would make a fair decision. And he said, let's put the stone in the middle of a blanket and get the leading members of each of the leading tribes to get a corners of the blanket and together move the blanket over to the Kaaba with the black stone in the middle and then lift it up together, up to its place. And then with his own hands, he put it in its place. And they were satisfied with that because it was the thrust of their movement that moved his hands up and put it in its place. So it's as if their whole motion, even though it's his hand, their whole motion contributed to it. And he was a part of the Hashemi clan of the Quraysh tribe. If he was biased, if he didn't have a pure heart, if he wasn't concerned about all of the people, he could have leaned towards his tribe to do it, who was the leading tribe, and he was of the Hashemi clan of the Quraysh tribe. But no, he did not do that. So, again, the brother points to the example of Nabi Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who described also in Quran as Uswatun Hasanatun, a most excellent replicable model. He was not biased. He didn't sway east or west. He didn't give preferential treatment. He was concerned about the needs of all of the people, and he was concerned about the health of the whole community life. I don't know if Brother Abdul Hakim, I didn't see you go out and come back in, but I'm going to go back to you to see if you have another comment. Yes, sir. Abdul Hakim?
Yes, I'm here, Brother Ibn. I'm sorry for him. I just wanted to ask you a question. What did you get out of the Imam, the tafsir he was trying to give to us in that last Jumu'ah Khutbah. What did you get? What stood out for you most?
What stood out for me was the statement that the Imam made in the towards the end of the first part one of the khutbah, where he said the Prophet's city, Medina and Munawwarah, would be a model and a reference. Then he said a model reference to be visited by knowledgeable Muslim thinkers for all times to come to see how close we are or have we lost our way. And then he went right into dua. So he gave us what we should look at to determine where we are in our own development and growth. And, you know, as a person that does strategic planning in the government context and writes grant proposals, they have a concept in strategic planning and writing grant proposals. When you're trying to get government tax dollars that you have contributed to as a taxpaying citizen to utilize those dollars to implement a program in the community, they want to know whether or not what you're going to implement is based on what they call either a model program, evidence-based practice, or an effective practice. And to be called those things, they have to have a 10-year track record. When people go to college to get their PhD, Doctor of Philosophy, PhD is for philosophy and D is for doctor, Doctor of Philosophy, it's basically a 3-year program if they go full time. The first 2 years, they're basically doing mostly their coursework, and they finally come with some kind of theoretical framework of something they would like to do to improve a particular condition among a particular group of people, or it could be a medical model or whatever it may be. And so they've got 1 year, and within that year they've got to decide on their topic. They've got to get their topic approved by their committee, and they have a committee chair. And once that's approved, they go out and they try to implement a strategy with a particular group of people and see if they should put more effort into studying this topic to see if it'll work. And then they write the dissertation on preliminary findings, nothing conclusive, just preliminary findings. And then the committee will approve that, and they get their PhD because they present the written dissertation and also an oral argument to defend it when the committee challenges them on certain points. But when the PhD comes out of college after those 3 years of in their PhD program, they're not really considered replicable among other PhDs until they're published. And what does it mean to be published? It means that they take that premise in which they experimented with in college and only had really 1 year, and what they do, they set up what they call an experimental design where they get a certain group that they are interacting with, and they give that group a certain dosage of a certain intervention, whether it's tutorial services, whether it's job readiness training, whether it's preventive diet and exercise or any kind of health problem, whatever it may be that they're focusing on. They've got this group in their program, and they give them a certain amount of dosage, so many times a week, so many hours a day, a certain kind of curriculum over an extended period of time, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, 3 years. Then they got another group that they also have in their program, but they don't give them that dosage. They just give them general things. So then they track those two groups over this extended 10-year period. That's why the census is 10 years to track data. And if the group that they gave the intervention to has better outcomes than the other group, then they publish the findings and they say, this is a model program. This is a best practice. This is an evidence-based practice because it has 10 years of what they call longitudinal research. They got that from the 10 years of Medina, of what the Prophet was able to accomplish in 10 years that transformed the whole society in Medina, transformed the whole Arabia, and then used it as a springboard to spread Islam throughout the world. They said that model worked. That's the model that brought us out of the Dark Ages. And that's what they go back to. So that's why their evidence-based practices, their best practices, their model programs have to have 10 years of longitudinal research because they're following the model of the prophet in Medina and the Nadawa, and his leadership there, as we know, was 10 years. In fact, our Islamic calendar, which is 1434, that started with Medina. It doesn't even include the period of Mecca, because in Mecca, we were under somebody else's control. In Medina, the prophet was the prophet. He was also the mayor of the city. He was also the judge. He was the leader in all aspects of community life. So that was a model that was not influenced by other philosophies, and it produced in 10 years what we haven't produced in American cities in 50 years. We don't, in many cases, don't even have a neighborhood that has turned Islam. But a whole country turned to Islam in 10 years. So that's the model the whole world looks at, and that's the model that Imam Muhammad pointed us back to when he said, it was a model reference for knowledge. Listen to the language. He said, knowledgeable Muslim thinker, not just anybody. You got to be a knowledgeable Muslim thinker, he said, to revisit for all times to come to see how close we are and how we lost our way. So for me, that was the most important thing to me that the Imam said, although there's many other things that's important, but that encompasses good character. That encompasses That encompasses building alliances, because in those 10 years, the prophet did all those things. So for me, that was the most important part for me.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran, buddy. Thanks for sharing.
Afwan, you're welcome. Let me go to area code 813. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah. You know something, brother? I got to ask you something that I want to preface this with something, first of all. Imam Muhammad, I can remember in the past, he'll go to a city, and then he'll go back to that city, you know, to do another talk. And he would say sometimes, he said, golly, he say, what's going on? He say, I come here, and I give you the knowledge to change, you know, to bring about a good change. He say, and I come back, see, like, you done got worse than when it loved before I gave you the knowledge. Now, I'm prepping that because I want to say something. You give a talk about the Medina, you know, the model. And you'll give that same talk that you just gave, you'll give it over and over again. I want to ask you something. Is the people, are we listening to you or what? You know, what's going on? What? Because you do that. I say, look like the brother, he's saying that he's trying to push, he's really pushing this. And what, we not listening to him? I'm trying to get what's going on. Give it to me.
I'm doing it because the Imam said for knowledgeable Muslim thinkers to revisit for all times to come. I'm following that order. Until I die. If I have the consciousness to know that that's the best model, the Imam said for all times to come, as that's the way we assess to see how close we are, have we lost our way. So until I die, if Allah still blesses me to have any sense, I don't get Alzheimer's or something else. And
That's good. Alhamdulillah.
That's what I'm doing.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Something else that I heard the Imam say that fits in with what Brother Bilal was saying. Imam Muhammad, I heard him say one time, if I have to come to your city to be in your city, you're not ready for me to come to your city. And I thought about that. I said, what is the Imam saying? The Imam's program, his way of thinking, should already be there. He shouldn't have to physically come. It should already be there. If we got to wait for him to physically come and we straighten up while he's here and then settle back into whatever we were doing before, then what are we saying? We're witnessing against ourselves. We're worshiping him and not what has made him. Because the Imam's thinking is the Quranic thinking. The Imam's approach is the approach of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we shouldn't just respond when the Imam comes. We should respond because Allah said it in the Quran, and the Prophet demonstrated over 10 years its effectiveness, and the Imam was just doing his best to replicate the model of the Prophet. Let me go to area code 817. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Ramadan. Excellent topic. And Medina is a model. Sir, but getting back to, you know, the cornerstone and how it was placed,
help me with this. You know, they say the first individual, you know, you mentioned that they were superstitious, but anyway, in that instance, do you think that that was just random when the prophet approached?
No, I think that Allah, you know, it may seem random. Oh, this is, you know, they may have thought in their mind this was lucky, but I believe that the destruction of the Kaaba was Allah's permission. The fact that they were confused on how to do it was Allah's permission, and the fact that the prophet came back in was from Allah's condition. Allah produces the circumstance to do anything He wants to do. For us, we may see, oh, that's just a coincidence, or that's just luck. No, everything in Allah's creation is organized, it's structured, it's relational, it's not done by accident. Everything is already written before it comes to pass. It's on a book before Allah lets it come to pass. So, yeah, from their perspective, they may have thought it was lucky or a coincidence, but from the position of Allah, it was planned. And that's my position.
Okay, another question. Okay, you know, Quran speaks about the individuals that don't, you know, take heed to the word and don't take heed to the word, he'll give it to another people. So in reiterating a lot of points, Imam Muhammad actually did. He tried to drive a point home. And I would say you too. So in reference to if the individuals don't act on what's been given to them, Allah says he'll give it to another people. So how would you categorize that statement as it refers to?
Let me mention two things. One, there's other people that, you know, they were oppressed too. The Native Americans, their land got stolen away. The Spanish speaking Americans, they didn't get the same privileges that other people from other European places got. There was a discrimination against them as people of a darker hue. Many more of them are coming into Islam. The Nation of Islam just appointed their first imam, Imam Sultan Muhammad, who's the son of Imam Sultan Muhammad, who is the son of Jabir Muhammad, who's the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he is someone in the Nation of Islam that always kept a close relationship with Imam Muhammad. In fact, he edited the book, Quran al-Islam. A lot of people don't know that. So he's been a brother that's been in the Nation of Islam, but been connected to Imam Muhammad. And he's moving around the country and giving khutbahs and masjids in our association. And he's got an effort to help develop imams within the Nation of Islam. You know, maybe they may outstrip us down the line of the next generation. They got more children still attending. So if they finally get it right, they may outstrip us. Allah knows that. So also, let me come from another perspective. In 2003, I was doing federal contract work, doing evaluations for the $50,000 conference grant in which the federal government, the Department of Health and Human Services, were giving the faith-based organizations to put on a conference grant with $50,000 support from the federal government to help put on that grant. And this particular one, they were sending me around the country because my background is strategic planning and evaluation, to evaluate these grants, the effectiveness of these conferences. So one such conference was in Orlando, Florida, that the Islamic Society of North America, headquartered in Plainfield, Indiana, right outside of Indianapolis, they won the conference grant. And also I just want to announce, too, that there's a group that's in our national association, that historic African-American freedom struggle up from slavery, as the man would define it, that we came out of, a group called Sisters United for Human Service, and they also won a $50,000 conference grant from the same money source, and they held it in Atlanta, Georgia, and the conference grant started off with the Jumu'ah prayer, and the keynote speaker, paid for by the government to come in and lead the Jumu'ah, was Imam Warisa bin Muhammad. My wife and I, we went down to that particular conference. So members in our association won that grant too. But I had never been to an ISNA conference. And I didn't know ISNA. I didn't know the leadership of ISNA. I had never been to one. So I'm thankful that I get an assignment to make money to do an evaluation, but also attend the Muslim conference. So we're sitting there waiting for the khatib to deliver the Jumu'ah, and this one brother we was a fatigue because he had some papers and notes and he was reading. And so the time on schedule for the goodbye, it passed by about 5 minutes. So I think I tapped him and said, "Are you ready for the goodbye?" And he said, "No, he was ready." But he kept sitting there. So we waited a couple more minutes, so I tapped him again. He said, "Well, I'm not the fatigue." What he was meaning, he was ready to hear the goodbye. He wasn't there to give it. We found out later, Sheikh Nour from the Sudan, that who is the at that time was the president of ISNA, he had missed the connecting flight. His first flight was late and missed the connecting flight, so he wasn't going to be able to get there. So we found that later. But shortly after that, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Dr. Fahid wants you to deliver the khutbah." Well, I didn't even know who Dr. Fahid was. I didn't know he was the Secretary General of ISNA at that time. So I fortunately had my Quran that I carried with me, and I'd given a khutbah somewhere the previous week. I still had my notes, and I said to myself, "Well, they ain't heard this one, so I'm just going to deliver the same one I delivered last week." So I just got up and delivered that. And about an hour or so later, Dr. Fahid, who I then found out was the Secretary General of ISNA, he came because he had been at a masjid about an hour or so away, delivering the khutbah there and trying to invite members from that masjid community or congregation to come to the conference. And he opened the conference up formally and said, he mentioned me by name. He said, "We have a brother among us that is here to evaluate us, and he's in association with Imam Morisuddin Muhammad, and who is the leader of all the Muslims in America." And I said, "Wow, you know, my first immigrant-led Muslim conference, and here's what the leader said." And then he said, "Let me explain why." He said, "We got affiliates that are under one national umbrella at ISNA. And if any one of our affiliates does something that comes on the terrorist watch list, it could shut down our whole organization because everybody's under one umbrella." He said, "Imam Muhammad, the leader, because in the mid-70s when he first came in, he decentralized the Nation of Islam. So even when it went to probate court," this is what he said, "even when it went to probate court, they couldn't get all the properties they could have got if it would have been under one national umbrella." Then he said, "Imam Muhammad is the first Muslim leader to form good relations with the American government, the good element, and was the first Muslim to lead the prayer and open the prayer for the sinner." Said Imam Muhammad is the first national Muslim leader to do interfaith. And we've got people in Christianity that are supporting us from people reacting to 9/11. They're supporting us, but Imam Muhammad led the way for that. So they hired me because of my association in this association to help them decentralize their national structure. And today, the very next year, ISNA was having all their conferences in Chicago, which, as you know, is not too far from Indianapolis, you know, just a several hours. They moved their next conference to Washington, D.C., and they started it on a Thursday where the national affiliation could come on Thursday and set up meetings to meet with their senators and the House of Representatives to form good relations. Then they moved Saeed away from Chicago as General Secretary and moved the office of ISNA to D.C., right across the street from Capitol Hill, and made Saeed the head of that office, because if you know him, he's got a beautiful smile, he's very engaging, and they wanted to form these relations. The things the Imam had been encouraged the Muslims to do from the very beginning of his leadership, they followed it, and they had money to back it up. And now ISNA, as long as we've been going into prison, way back in the day, ISNA is the endorsing body for chaplains, institutional chaplains. If you want to get a job as an institutional chaplain, oftentimes those institutions will ask for an ISNA endorsement because they actually followed what the Imam said better than we did. So I see that already happening. If we don't put our morals and ethics and work behind the Imam's program, there's others that will. And I'll make this one last statement. When the Imam passed away, when Allah called him back, when Allah lay, I got a call from a Muslim in Pittsburgh who's a member of the Nation of Islam who I had done some work with in Pittsburgh. And they asked me if I had copies of any copies of Imam. man behind the CDs or DVDs, anything I could give them. And so I sent them a few things, and I pointed them to WDM Publications and also NewAfricaRadio.com, where they could, you know, access in a more formal way. Then the same day, no, the next day, a brother from the West Coast, Muslim brother in the Nation of Islam I knew, that I joined the Nation of Islam with in Toledo. He moved to the West Coast. He stayed with the Nation of Islam or went back with it when Farrakhan reestablished it. But we stayed in touch. He called me and asked me for any DVDs or CDs I had of demand. So I asked him because I knew him better. I said, "Brother, I just got a call from a sister yesterday asking me the same thing." So, yeah, we probably was in the same meeting. Then the Farrakhan told us to get all the DVDs and CDs we can of Imam Muhammad, that he's the one going to teach us our religion. So if we don't carry it, and Imam used to always tell that. He said he got supported way beyond the immediate association he was talking to. So, yeah, if we don't carry it, Allah can easily take it from us and give it to some others, and he's already doing it in some regards in terms of some of these other Islamic organizations who put money behind the Imam's guidance from Allah and did more with it than we've done in some cases.
Right. Well, thank you for that, sir. And appreciate the show. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. And let me go back to Brother Bilal. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. The knowledge that you have when it comes to grant writing, I mean, you really, if you call upon to help on the, you know, the brothers and sisters who went to the shore and the shore that being established, if they call upon you to, you know, to help fine tune things, and you'll be willing to deal with this.
Yes, sir. This is this, you know, unfortunately, I've had to really put my talent that Allah has given me. I have nothing without what Allah has given me. Give me a good environment and the good people to learn from. But unfortunately, most of the people that call on me are organizations that are not us. And what happens is I'm looking at these organizations, and you got the gay lesbian lifestyle, you got smokers, you got drinkers, you got this, you got that. I'm not saying we got all moral excellence, but I'm telling you, some of the decadent things I see in some of these organizations is trying to provide services. If it turns your stomach to even want to help them, because you don't want to reproduce that faulty model. And I've been wanting for a long time to provide these services within the Ummah, and specifically within the same people that my history goes back to. And more of that is increasing. So those of you that have my email address, the phone number, if you have a program, you want me to look at a proposal or do a grant writing workshop, we love to do that because we need to get our share. We pay tax dollars. We do not get our share. I've been sitting on grant review panels since 1979. And I have, in all of my history, only seen maybe four or five other Muslims that serve on these panels. Two such Muslims, Brother Imam Alvin and Sister Rosa down in New Medina. They brought me down to New Medina to do a grant writing workshop, and then I worked with them on how to become reviewers for the federal government so they could review grants, and they started getting making opportunities, and so that enhanced and helped their program. But many of us, Brother Bilal, are going to have it take advantage of it. And I really want to do more of that because we don't want to be grant dependent. No, we don't want to be grant dependent. We don't want to be dependent on government grants. But we need to have a part of our overall budget, at least 10% of it, we should consider grants that are available. So that way, if the grant don't become available, we only depend on it 10%, so 90% we're doing it through our own work. And so, therefore, we won't shut down if the grant shut down. So never only depend on the grant, but it should be a part of our overall resource development plan. So I'm going to give you all and a phone number if anyone wants to contact me on that. Because, you know, it's only going to last maybe 4 years naturally that I've been teaching in terms of Islamic education. Most of what I've been doing professionally is grant writing and board development and strategic planning training. That's what most people know me for. It's just recently I started joining Imam Qasim, Imam Salim Muslim, Yahya Abdullah, Wazi Ali, and others in terms of teaching the quote-unquote religion proper. But my specific emphasis has always been on organizational development and board development and grant writing. So that's what I'm trained professionally to do. So my email address, if anyone's interested, is kramadan, kramadan@aol.com. And the phone number is 716-812-1404. Thank you, Brother Bilal.
Alhamdulillah, thank you.
You're welcome. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All right, we have about a half an hour. We don't have to go all the way to 10 o'clock. You know, it's a challenge to have a three-hour program. We are going to transition in the next couple of weeks where we're actually going to have guests. But we wanted to kind of set the tone the first couple of weeks in the way we've done it. But we obviously do not want to be talking to you for 3 hours as an individual myself. We want to bring other great expert resource people on board. And we're scheduled to have Brother Omar and Brother Naeem from Detroit, Michigan, who have an economic development strategy. And one of the things that they're utilizing is the harvesting of bees. And so we're going to have a far-reaching program next week in terms of that particular profession, but also lessons learned from the bee community. And a lot of them, the Quran, he gave the bee wahi, and they're a community. They have division of labor. They have certain tasks. They have it is very, very, very powerful likeness of the human community life in studying the life of the bee. So, inshallah, Brother Omar and Naeem out of Detroit next week will be focusing on the actual mechanics of the beehive, the bee colony, et cetera, but also what lessons can we draw from that in terms of establishing Islamic community life based on respect and division of labor and support for leadership, et cetera, that is demonstrated in the life of the bee. So we'll be transitioning next week, inshallah, to having guests on the program. We have a half an hour, but we don't have to stay on the 10. We can shut down early, and I don't want to keep talking to you. I want you to talk to us. So if anybody else has any comments or questions, please hit 1 on your phone, and that will bring you into the host queue. All right, hearing none, for those of you who have the time, I'm just going to, I don't know if I can get through all of this, but we recorded Talim on the Surah Hadid, Surah 57, in the Quran, the whole Surah, and we broke it down into four parts. So we probably won't have time to cover all parts, but we will at least cover as many as we can, as we have about another 28 minutes on the program. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. This is the first in a series of four Quranic literacy talim that's going to be focusing on Surah Al-Hadid. Surah Al-Hadid. This Surah Al-Hadid is Surah 57, and it has 29 ayah. And we're going to break it into four sections where you have the mouth of the Quran. It's an ayin at the end, and you see an ayin at the end of an ayah. If you were reciting this in Salah, this would be a recommended case that you would say Allahu Akbar and go into your rak'ah. So it's the mouth of Rakua. And in the first talim, we're going to read from Surah Al-Hadid, Surah 57, ayahs 1 through 10. 1 through 10, which is where the first mark of the court is in this particular surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from the furious one, the expelled. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Subbaha lillahi, intense glorification is to and owned by Allah. The subbaha in its root comes from a word meaning this act of swimming. As we've mentioned before, we translate this to glorify Allah. But this is a not just lip service glorification, because swimming is the activity that exercises every bone, every muscle, every cartilage, every tendon, every ligament, every vein, every artery, every capillary, every organ, every system of the body. But very helpful at low impact. Subbahalilahi mafi samawati wal ardi. Intense glorification is to and owned by Allah. We give it to him and he owns it. Mafi samawati wal ardi. Of what is in the heavens, the skies, and the earth. The galactic skies and also the seven developmental levels, where the seven, eight prophets were on seven levels. It's the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ascended up through all of them. Wa huwa azizul hakimu. And he is the almighty, the all-wise. Al-azizul hakimu. In the nominative, it means the subject, the main theme, because it has dhamma on the end of both of those nouns. Wa huwa azizul hakimu. Lahu mulku samawati wal ardi. Belongs to him is the kingship, the ownership, the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He's always the king. He may allow some to have a rulership over a certain aspect, but it's under his ultimate authority. Lahu mulku samawati wal ardi. Belongs to him is the kingship of the heavens and the earth. Yuhyi wa yumeetu. He causes life and he causes death. And he over every single thing, kabirun, has provided it its measure. It has a measure. Sometimes it is power. But if you measure something in, that's what gives it the power. It has no power that can come out if it has not been measured in. And this kabirun is tanween dhamma, which means it's part of the subject, part of the main theme in the dhamma. He is the first and the last. Wa zahiru wa batinu. And he is the appearance. You get the word zuha from this. Wa zahiru, the appearance. Wa batinu, and the hidden. Wa huwa bi kulli shay'in alim. And he is with all things and all knowing one. So he's the first, the last, the appearance, the hidden, and he with all things knows everything. Hu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal arda. He it is. He created, already committed, past in the heavens and the earth, PCTATI, in six ayamin, excuse me, PCTATI, ayamin, in 6 days or 6 periods, SUMASTAWA ALAL ARSH. Then he rose over the throne. No concept in Al-Islam of a God resting on the seventh day. No, he's still on the throne. SUMASTAWA ALAL ARSH. Then he rose over the throne. Ya'lamu ma yalju fil ardi. He knows what merges into the earth. Wa ma yakhriju minha. And he knows what comes out from it. Wa ma yanzilu min as-samaa'i. And he knows what comes down from the sky. Wa ma yarju fiha. And what ascends in it. And you know the prophet has told us in Hadith, and it's even more clear in Quran, that Allah sent the highest angels down from the sky. And it's going to come a time that they're going to rise back up to it with their report. Wa huwa ma'akum ayna ma'kuntum. And he is with you wherever you are. So this coming down from the sky is not just the physical things that come down, but also on the high spiritual realm. Wallahu bima tahmaluna basirun. And Allah, with what you are doing, basirun, is an all-seeing one. Lahu mulku samawati wal ard. Belonging to him is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. Wa illa lahi turja'u umur. And to Allah is the return. Turja'u. We say when somebody passes or some calamity happens, inna lillahi wa inna alayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong, and to him we will return. So, wa illa lahi turja'u umur. And to Allah is the return for al-umur, for the decision, for the command. Yuliju layla fi nahari. He merges the night into the day. Wa yuliju nahari fi lay. And he merges the day into the night. Don't think things, his commands don't come just all of a sudden. It's a gradual process, teaching us patience. Wahua Alimun Bizati Sidur, and he is an all-knowing one, Bizati Sidur, with what resides in the uppermost core of the human being, sometimes translated the breath, but the uppermost core. So if something's in the dark that should be in the light, he's going to bring it out. He knows what's there. If something is claiming light but really is in the dark, he's going to bring it out. He knows what's there. That's the higher meaning. But the literal meaning, the night does merge into the day, and the day does merge into the night. Aminu billahi wa rasulihi demonstrates faith with regarding Allah and his messenger. Wa antiku mina ja'allakum mustahrafina fihi. And spin from what he has made all of you, mustahrafina, from Khalifa. Mustahrafina, ones who seek to be successors, fihi, in it. So be successors in it. Spin from what he's given you as a trust. You're succeeding what he's given you, and you're supposed to spin from it. Which is, anyways, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Then those who have demonstrated faith from you, وَأَنْفَقُوا, and spin, and they spin. لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ خَبِيرٌ. Belonging to them, أَجْرٌ is a reward, خَبِيرٌ, a big reward. Because Allah Akbar, Allah is the biggest. But this is a big reward from the one that's the biggest. وَمَنْ لَكُمْ. And what is the matter with you? لَا تُخْمِنُوا لِبِلَّهِ. That you do not demonstrate faith regarding Allah, وَالرَّسُولُ يَتْقُوْكُمْ, and the messenger يَتْقُوْكُمْ is calling all of you, لِتُخْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ, to demonstrate faith regarding your God's revolver, وَقَدْ أَخَذَ مِثَاقَكُمْ, and certainly he has taken from you a pledge, إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُخْمِنُونَ, if you are of the ones who have cultivated faith, this is in the fourth form. Who are Lavi? It is. Yunazilu alal abdihi ayatin bayinatin. It is who sent down on his slaves, meaning on Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayatin bayinatin. Clear sign. For what purpose? Liyukhrijakum. To cause all of you to come out. Mina zulumati illa nur. From the darknesses into the light. All of the darknesses, spiritual darkness of false worship, political darkness of hierarchical ruling systems, economic darkness of wealth circulating only among the elite few, social and cultural darkness in terms of many disparities and unfairness and injustices and things that aren't equitable in the world, educational darkness, blocking access to education for some groups. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَعُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And surely Allah with you is a very kind one and a most merciful, redeeming one. وَمَنْ لَكُمْ. And what is the matter with you? أَلَا تُنْفِكُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That you do not spend فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In the public path owned by Allah. Yeah, people do a lot of stuff in private. But Allah wanted us to demonstrate this faith in public. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to and owned by Allah is the inheritance of the skies and the earth. Don't be afraid to sin in the public path where you see problems in the spiritual realm, in the religious institutions. You may see problems in the political institutions, in the economic institutions, in social, cultural, education, scientific, etc. Don't be afraid to sin. You're going to come up against people that are oppressors, doctors, makers in these institutions. Allah is letting us know. وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And to and owned by Allah is the inheritance of the heavens and the earth. لَا تَسْتَوِي, excuse me, لَا يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ. Not equal from you, مَنْ أَنْفَقَى مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَتَلَى. Is who spent from before the victory and fought. These are talking about the ones who were spending and struggling before the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud and all of the battles, the Battle of the Trench, and before the Muslims finally are victorious with the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and the subsequent, and within a 3 or 4 year period, the entry into Mecca as victors, not having to shed a blow. So the people the line before Al-Islam was fully established. He said, Allah says, يَسْتَوِي مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفَقَى مِنْ قَبْلِ الْفَتْحِ وَقَتَلَى. Not equal from you as who spent from before the victory in part. أُولَٰئِكَ أَعْظَمُوا دَرَجَاتًا. These have tremendously structured, elevated ranks. أَعْظَمُوا دَرَجَاتًا. مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ وَقَتَلُوا. From those who spent from after in part. That's everybody else. The angel Jibril alayhi salam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the best among the companions? He said, the ones who fought at Badr, when it was just a small, contemptible little force. Those were the best. And the angel Jibril said, the best of the angels are the ones that also fought at Badr. And Jibril, being among the ones that was in the ranks, fighting a right side, right along with the faithful, at the Battle of Badr. So Allah says, وَقُولًا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ حُسْنًا. In all, Allah has promised al-husna, the excellent, the ones who fought before and the ones who fought after. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَحْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah, with what you all are doing, خَبِيرٌ, is an all fully aware one, خَبِيرٌ. A fully aware one. So this ends our tafsir, the Salim of the first Ruqa of Surat al-Hadid. And inshallah, this, as you know, is playback 553. So the other subsequent ones, inshallah, will be 554, 555, and 556, inshallah, to complete this series of four, covering the 29th ayah of Surat al-Hadid. Sadaq al-Azim, Allah, the tremendous spoke the truth. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, we have three other sections of the presentation on Surat al-Hadid, the 57th surah. Obviously, we don't have time to go over them this evening. So we're just going to close with a dua. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Allah grant us good in this world and good in the destiny, and protect us from the penalty of the fire. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Allah regard me evolver. Let not our hearts deviate after with what you have guided us, and bestow on us from your presence mercy. For surely you are the bestower. Rabbana innaka jamiu nasi li yawm la rayba fihi. Inna Allah la yukhlifu miad. Our Lord, surely you will gather humanity to a day in which there is no doubt in it. Surely Allah does not go back on his promise. Ameen. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. We look forward to being with you next Friday, and also encourage you to listen to other programming on American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.